Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. Juneau's cold weather emergency shelter opens tonight. It's the third year the shelter will be located in a warehouse in Thane, about a mile from downtown. It's funded by the city and operated by staff from St. Vincent de Paul, a local nonprofit that works to help people affected by homelessness. Jennifer Skinner is the executive director of Juneau's St. Vincent de Paul chapter. She says the shelter is critical to keeping people alive during the cold winter months.
The most important part of having this option for our unhoused population is that it gives them a safe, dry, warm place to be overnight, where otherwise they would be out in the elements.
The shelter accepts anyone who comes in search of a place to sleep, as long as they aren't disruptive to other patrons. City officials say it's a stopgap and meant to be a last resort for unhoused people when the weather gets cold. Last season, the shelter saw an average of 45 people per night. But some nights, staff saw up to 70 people in need of shelter. This summer, Juneau saw an influx of encampments throughout the borough, particularly near the Glory Hall shelter in the Mendenhall Valley. That's in part due to the closure of the city-run campground near downtown 2 years ago. The increase in campers this year led the Glory Hall to reduce its services in late August due to what staff say was a deteriorating and unsafe environment in the neighborhood. Skinner says she expects many campers near the Glory Hall shelter to head to the emergency shelter in Thane as temperatures in Juneau begin to fall.
It kind of just takes that lift and that burden off of our unhoused population and allows for them to have a little bit of peace of mind for 6 months out of the year, knowing that there's always a place open.
The shelter will be open every day starting tonight from 9 p.m. until the early morning. There will also be free shuttle transportation from the Mendenhall Valley and downtown to the shelter. The shelter will stay open through April of next year. And the Mendenhall Glacier is melting in ways that affect the size of glacial outburst floods in Juneau's Mendenhall Valley. In a crowded lecture hall on Friday, researchers presented new preliminary data on how the ice contributed to this summer's record-breaking flood and shared their ideas about how that could change in the future. KTOO's Alex Solomon has the story.
Juneau's glacial outburst flood in August broke more than one record. Aaron Hood is an environmental scientist at the University of Alaska Southeast. He says the Mendenhall River rose quicker than ever this year.
It was a fast release, the fastest release we've seen in terms of just the rate at which the amount of water in the river was increasing hour over hour.
And there was more water than in years past, both from heavy rain in the days leading up to the flood and because the capacity of Suicide Basin, the source of Juneau's outburst flood, has grown. The basin is an immense pool that formed when Suicide Glacier receded. Steep rock faces make up all but one of its walls. That last wall is an ever-changing ice dam formed by Mendenhall Glacier. The outburst flood happens when rain and meltwater rise to the top of the ice dam, and the water pressure builds up enough to tunnel through the glacier and drain the basin all at once, sending a torrent through Mendenhall Valley. The flood has been growing, but researchers say it will reach a peak one day and then start getting smaller. Hood says they aren't sure exactly when the basin will deliver its largest flood.
Hopefully we're up near the top of the curve. We don't know yet.
Jason Amundson is a glaciologist at UAS. He says calculating the shifting volume of Suicide Basin is key to understanding how the melting glacier influences the size of the flood.
So I would say at this point we have a really good grasp of the basin volume and how it's changing over time.
The researchers flew drones over the basin that took thousands of high-resolution photos. Stitched together, those images help the team measure how much water it can hold. He says three main variables go into that math. Let's break it down. First, Suicide Basin is expanding into the side of the glacier. That means it's getting wider. Over the past 5 years, Amundson says the basin cut into the glacier by roughly 100 meters. Second, the researchers reported that Mendenhall Glacier has thinned somewhere between 15 and 20 meters over the past 5 years due to climate change. That means the basin's ice dam is getting shorter. Third, icebergs in Suicide Basin are melting rapidly. That adds water capacity, because floating ice displaces water. Do the math and...
In the last 5 years, the storage capacity has increased by something like 20%. A little bit scary to think about it continuing to increase 10,000 acre feet every 5 years, but I think the thing that should give you at least a little bit of comfort is that there's not a lot of floating ice left in the basin.
He says melting icebergs added the most water capacity since 2020. The theory is that the largest outburst flood should happen when there are no icebergs left in the basin, So Hood says this could be good news.
Theoretically, that's kind of a good sign that we could be nearing the peak.
But he says reality is never as clean as theory. The changing ice dam, high tides, or an atmospheric river could make the valley's largest flood come sometime before or after all the icebergs melt. And the numbers are still rough estimates based on preliminary data that hasn't been finalized yet. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
Juneau School District Superintendent Frank Hauser is resigning. In an announcement on the district's app on Friday, Hauser said he'll resign at the end of June next year. Hauser wrote, quote, "It has been my honor to lead the district during this time. But after several years of long days, late nights, and weekends working, I decided it's time to make a change," end quote. Hauser was unavailable for comment on Friday. Outgoing Juneau School Board member Emil Mackey says he's grateful for Hauser's dedication to the district and the state's children.
The Juneau School Board has been very fortunate to have such a competent and dedicated leader like Superintendent Hauser to guide us through the largest fiscal crisis that this district's ever faced.
Mackey says he hopes the board will be able to find another candidate with similar qualifications as Hauser. The district hired Hauser in 2023 following the departure of Bridget Weiss. Hauser led the district through a $9.7 million budget shortfall that led to closing and consolidating its middle and high schools. Hauser has also been a strong advocate for districts across the state against the Department of Education and Early Development's proposed changes that would have limited how much funding municipalities could give schools. Hauser said in his letter he doesn't have career plans following his resignation, but he looks forward to being able to make it to dinner with his family more often. And Juneau saw at least 5 backcountry deaths this summer. Many of the people who died were cruise tourists or visitors. Now, as the tourism season comes to a close, KTOO's Clarice Larson asks what made this summer so deadly.
Juneau's known for its beautiful mountains and seemingly endless trails. They're just some of the many draws that bring 1.7 million cruise ship passengers to Alaska's capital city each summer. But this year, at least 5 people died in the backcountry around Juneau, including tourists, a seasonal worker, a local, and a researcher. 2 people died in separate incidences on Mount Roberts. 2 others died on popular hiking trails, and 1 on top of the Mendenhall Glacier. The data isn't readily available to say how unusual this summer was, but some of the deaths came after extensive search and rescues. Andrew Pantiska is the EMS chief for Capital City Fire and Rescue.
Deaths on the mountains in Juneau are not uncommon. However, we saw a lot more this year.
But he says there isn't anything he could point to about the summer that made it different than others. He says there are ways that people can prepare themselves for an emergency situation in the backcountry.
One of the biggest things that we always remind people to do is have a travel plan, have a flight plan, have a trail plan, whatever you want to call it. Have someone who's not with you who knows when you're supposed to be back, where you're going, knows all your contact info.
He listed other things hikers should do to prepare too, like dressing for the weather, having a charged phone, and a headlamp. Pete Boyd with Juneau Mountain Rescue says it's easy to become complacent about the dangers of being out in the mountains, especially on clear days.
Serious things can happen to anybody at any time. There was no major weather. There's nothing out of the ordinary about this year, but we've had 5 deaths.
In September, a Texas man visiting on a cruise ship died after falling off a steep mountainside on Mount Roberts near downtown. A man with him at the time also fell and suffered minor injuries. Another cruise ship passenger died from a fall on the mountain earlier this year, too. Both tourists died after taking the popular Gold Belt tramway to get to the top of Mount Roberts. Boyd says mountains can become much more dangerous in the dark or during bad weather.
The biggest thing is stay on the trails. There, if you think you're on a shortcut, it's not a shortcut. The number of times we've gone out for people where they're like, "Oh, well, I thought this would be a quicker way down, and it looks like a trail. It's a game trail or even just a stream that leads to a cliff."
McHugh Pierre, Gold Belt president and CEO, says the company has safety signs posted on its trails for visitors exiting on top of the mountain. He says staff also warn people of the dangers as they ride up the tram and use the trails.
People need to respect that Alaska is the frontier. It is on the edge of wilderness. And just because you can see a town doesn't mean that you're not in the wild and facing all of the challenges that wilderness throws at you.
He says following the summer, Gold Belt plans to increase signage and education efforts for visitor safety. The cruise tourism season in Juneau ended this week after a nearly 200-day season. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And Alaska has joined more than half of the country in creating artificial intelligence guidance for education as it becomes a larger part of the school day. The Alaska Department of Education and Early Development presented a set of guidelines on using AI in school districts last week. It includes recommendations and considerations on topics like cultural responsiveness and security when making AI policies. DEED computer science content specialist Anthony White was part of an advisory group that drafted the state's guidelines. He said at a State Board of Education meeting Thursday, the guidelines do more than just advise school districts on AI policy.
It positions Alaska to be highly competitive for federal AI education grants and other funding opportunities by demonstrating a clear, unified level strategy.
He says the guidelines will prepare students and teachers for a world increasingly driven by AI. A nationwide survey of teachers in 6th to 12th graders from the Center for Democracy and Technology found that a majority of them used AI during the last school year. The guidelines recommend moving beyond bans. Instead, they suggest developing ways to responsibly use generative AI, which includes software like ChatGPT that relies on large language models to create content. A disclaimer in the document states it was written with help from generative AI to, quote, model responsible and ethical engagement with AI technologies, end quote. Districts in Alaska currently have guidelines that range from school-level rules that mention AI to a district-wide policy in Fairbanks. The Juneau School District has no district-wide AI policy, but the Juneau Douglas High School Yara Akahle Student Handbook includes AI in its academic dishonesty policy. The document is currently available on DEED's website. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 48 degrees and overcast. We are expecting some rain the rest of today, and tonight it will pick up in earnest. The rest of the week and the weekend look rainy, with temperatures between the mid-40s and low 50s. This is KTOO.